I saw a family of fishermen, the whole family, doing fishing. They came with simple boats, wooden boats, and took the net. And then I saw, I helped them. I wanted to make myself helpful for them. Little tiny fishes and a lot of plastic. And on the horizon of the ocean, you could see the big fish trawlers from Europe, I guess, the industry. That made me really sad. Okay. Please, I have a little piece of music for you.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, Sparks fans. You're as welcome as can be. You're listening to All You Ever Think About Is Sparks, the only and therefore best podcast solely devoted to the male pattern coolness of Ron and Russell Male, a.k.a. Sparks. This is episode 42. It's two of our look at the quasi-Sparks album Sex by the Belgian group Telex. I'm happy once again to have my esteemed colleague and guy I'd very much like to hang out in Ibiza with, Mr. John Ashdown. Yes, that is the very same John Ashdown of renowned electronic act Christ on a Bike. John, you'll be happy to know I stayed up until 5 a.m. last night wrestling with various DAWs and synthesizers so as to beef up my remixing muscles. Those tracks you sent me are going to get the full Christian Huey remix treatment. That's right. I'm like the Jackknife Lee of music. I've got most of about 3 episodes in the hopper I'll be working on over the next several weeks. Monty Mallon will return to discuss Sparks in Outer Space, the greatest demo disc for the Lynn Drum 1983 ever gifted us with. And don't you sleep on Monty's ebullient YouTube channel, Sparks Entertainment and Art. I mean it. It's a joyful experience to watch his show and listen to his interviews with really interesting people. For this episode, I send 10,000 thank yous to listener Sean Gildea. In a bizarre coincidence, Sean suggested that I get around to covering the Telex album just a handful of days after I had recorded myself doing just that. Kismet. But after I followed up with him, Sean sent me another email with screenshots of the liner notes from a 1993 box set called Belgium 1 Point. All provided by Mark Moulin, the notes offer up some really interesting background info on the songs of Sex, aka Birds and Bees, if you're in the UK. Here is my favorite, and as a Texan, you can color me proud. Exercise is good for you. One day we discovered that we had an unexpected fan, Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. He met us and told us how much he liked this album. Surprise for everyone, including the press. What's in common between his music and ours? We weren't the only ones to admire him as a wonderful guitar player. We were amazed to discover that at every concert by ZZ Top, 9 months a year on the road, ended up with exercise is good for you. Huh. Kind of have to wonder if Telex ever returned the favor. She's got legs. Elle sait comment s'en servir. Something like that. Remember, you can reach me via email at podcastsparks@gmail.com. You can also find me on whatever social media platforms young people don't use anymore. And that's all for the intro part. Now, it's the story time part. The members of Telex made no secret of the tremendous debt they owed to the foundational German synth-pop group Kraftwerk. In Telex's defense, In many ways, Kraftwerk was the very root of the family tree that all synthesizer-based pop music sprouted from. If you were a synth-wielding songwriter or producer in the late 1970s, there weren't many artists to look to point the way forward other than the Teutonic Synth Quartet. Even though Telex felt compelled to deny rumors that their first major hit was inspired by a Kraftwerk song, it's pretty hard not to draw a straight, short line between the two tracks. Kraftwerk released their single, Trans Europe Express, in April 1977. That was a culmination of Kraftwerk's efforts over the preceding few years to merge krautrock with disco-inspired beats. Whereas their breakthrough single Autobahn, released in 1975, successfully compressed a 22-minute album track into a 3-minute pop song. That song was more kind of a Can meets Wendy Carlos than the proto-industrial dance stylings of Trans Europe Express. With Trans Europe Express, the chicka 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 rhythmic pulse of the infamous Motorik beat pushes the krautrock of Autobahn to danceable new heights. The song soon snaked its way into discos and even onto the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Trans Europe Express was the sound of the electronic avant-garde shoehorned into pop music packaging. The track also solidified what had come to be some of Kraftwerk's favorite musical and lyrical themes: human locomotion and the marvels of modern mass transit. The song sounded like a high-speed train gliding down the tracks. It was at once exhilarating and hypnotic. Enter Telex in 1978. Synthesizer enthusiast Dan Laxman wanted to do something different with his gear than merely produce avant jazz and classical records. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Laxman saw and heard what Kraftwerk accomplished with the massive Moog and was thunderstruck. He decided to put a distinctly Belgian spin on the stark beats and crystalline tones Kraftwerk had employed. After joining forces with keyboard prodigy Marc Moulin and alternative vocalist Michel Mors, Telex first honed their aesthetic approach on a few covers of rock and roll standards. And then, in July 1979, they released Moscow Disco, a post-disco, proto-synth-pop dance floor banger. And it's also about a train. No doubt informed by the Belgian cartoons the members of Telex were so fond of, Moscow Disco was busier, sillier, and more frenetic than Trans Europe Express. The lyrics, sung in French by an arch-sounding Michel Mors, described a mobile disco on wheels, on tracks, a non-stop party taking place on a high-speed rail shuttling between Moscow and Tokyo. Yes, I'm sure Telex was plenty aware that Japan was and is an island nation. Whether or not the song was consciously assembled from the same basic parts as Trans Europe Express, the influence was undeniable. But what makes Dan Laxman's steadfast rejection of any charges of Kraftwerk ripoff particularly interesting is the fact that he and Kraftwerk's Florian Schneider were friends. They were buds. On an episode of former Heaven 17 member Martin Ware's podcast, Electronically Yours, Dan Laxman spoke briefly about befriending Florian Schneider in the mid-70s. Although Laxman explained that he was keen to talk music with his German counterpart, Schneider was anything but keen to talk shop in those days. It wasn't due to a language barrier either, as Schneider was fluent in French. According to Laxman, conversations between the two centered around shared interests like beer, women, bicycles, but not music. At least, not for many years. This changed dramatically in the mid-2010s when Laxman and Schneider at long last decided to collaborate musically. although both creatives had based their musical careers around bridging technology to music for the masses, the preservation of the natural world had long been a high priority for them both. According to Schneider, a recent swim in the ocean off the coast of Ghana prompted him to pay more attention to the state of the world's oceans. Schneider was struck by, as he put it, "watching fishermen catch nothing but plastic garbage in their nets." The experience led him to involve himself with the New York City-based organization Parlay the Oceans. Parlay the Oceans describes their mission as to form a network where creators, thinkers, and leaders come together to raise awareness for the beauty and fragility of the oceans and collaborate on projects that can end their destruction. In 2015, Schneider met Laxman at his Sin Sound Studios, the very same place Ron and Russell recorded a few of their 80s albums, and together they produced a charity single for the environmental organization, the aptly titled Stop Plastic Pollution. A bracing, adventurous piece, a little bit reminiscent actually of the record that Dan Laxman produced in the early 90s, Deep Forest. Stop Plastic Pollution doesn't really sound very much like either Kraftwerk or Telex. It's a lot more spacious, airy than what those two groups tended to do on their songs. For one thing, the lyrics are unadorned and they get right to the point. Save our oceans. Here are Florian Schneider's lyrics for Stop Plastic Pollution. Ready for this? Stop plastic pollution in the ocean. Stop plastic pollution in the ocean. Save the fish. Save the fish. Stop plastic pollution in the ocean. Stop plastic pollution in the ocean. So you get it. Consistent with the idea. I appreciate that. And for a very good cause. And it's actually kind of a fun song. Despite the dire warnings therein. And I always love it when a German techno god, somebody who helped record an album called Man Machine, turns out to be an earth-hugging hippie. I'm completely serious. I think that's super cool. According to Laxman, he and the Kraftwerk co-founder continued to work on new music after releasing their first single. But their collaboration didn't last long. Tragically, Dan Laxman would lose another friend and creative partner just when things were looking good again. Like Mark Mulan in 2008, Florian Schneider passed away from the ravages of cancer on April 21, 2020. He had just turned 73.
"We had a project, not a complete album," Laxman emphasizes.
And because of the pretty heavy subject matter, I'm just going to do the rest of this quote in my natural voice. Florian was really happy with it. He should have come to finish it, but he called me in February to say that he was really ill. He was speaking French, which he liked to do. "Dan, I'm sorry. I've discovered cancer, and I will go through a lot of medicine, so I will not be able to come." Schneider's passing was a gigantic loss for the music world. He had arguably done more than just about anyone else, save for fellow bandmate Ralph Hutter, to usher in pop music's new technological age. Luckily, Laxman revealed that Schneider had left a plan in place to finish what the two had started. Schneider had arranged for a technician who worked with Kraftwerk to help Laxman finish the recordings. In May of 2020, just weeks after Schneider's death, Laxman revealed to Synth and Software magazine this silver lining. Laxman triumphantly declared,
"And so I'm very happy and proud to know that we will finish this because I think it's great and I think it will be a very good tribute for Florian. So there will be more stuff coming, but I don't know when."
4 years on, there haven't been any updates on the Schneider-Laxman recordings. Considering that the surviving members of Telex have spent much of that time remastering their back catalog, however, still reasonable to hope the rest of the project will see a release in the not-too-distant future. Me? I just want to hear Schneider sing
We are the robots.
Get it? Robots. Here's John Ashton. Those of you listening, go ahead, Google it. Go ahead and look up the title of that song. Da, 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 da. I haven't really met somewhere before. It's an interesting video. And by the way, like the guys in the band do look pretty iconic. You know, I mean, you got Ron and Russell, right? They're not in the video, of course. But Ron and Russell, Ron's always had the mustache and Russ has always had the hair and he's been skinny and he's, you know, and he's done his dance moves and everything. And but the three guys in Telex have also, and this is, and you'll see when you see some of their re-releases, there are cartoon versions of these guys. They also self-consciously like had ideas of how they wanted themselves to look. And there was the short fat guy with the mustache, and there was the poofy haired guy who was sort of like the Belgian Russell. And then there was, you know, another guy. So,
well, they are from the country that brought us, you know, really good cartoons, OJ's Adventures of Tintin. So, you know, you've got cartoon versions of themselves.
Yes, and that is something that they talked about a whole lot.
Yeah,
those Telex guys and how they came up with their sound is those cartoons. That's great. Thank you, John. All right, so the next song on the album we have is Long Holiday. This song just takes me into like blue way, sort of like Yellow Magic Orchestra territory, like on speed or something.
I'm going to say that I can't believe that the Mels wrote the lyrics for this, because this doesn't have the Mel touch to it to me. And that's why I question whether they did it. Obviously, from the copyright point of view, it says sure. They did.
Yeah.
But to me, I don't see much into this. Into the lyrics.
It's awfully brief.
Yeah.
I mean,
2 minutes, 12 seconds.
I could see how he could have just like Ron / Russ could have just done this in 5 minutes. Look, we've got a deadline. This has to be done by 5 p.m. today.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really, really straightforward. And it doesn't seem to have any of those lovely little sort of hooks and catches. And is that quite right? Is that really what he's saying? Male way of writing a lyric. Do you want me to do this one?
Yeah, please.
Okay. All right. This is Long Holiday. You could use a long, long, long holiday. Everybody says, take a holiday. You could use a long, long, long holiday. Everybody says you should get away. Where, oh, where to go? Life in the city makes me kinky. Where, oh, where to go? Life in the country starts me thinking. You could use a long, 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 long holiday. Everybody says, take a holiday. Where, oh, where to go? Down at the sea, I'm hot and bothered. Where, oh, where to go? Up in the hills, I'm cold and bothered.
You could use a long, long, long holiday. Well, we got one joke out of it. Hot and bothered versus cold and bothered.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
It's my least favorite track on that album. If I had that album.
It's mine as well. It's mine as well. It does kind of harken back to the sort of feel that I get from listening to like Popcorn and those earlier kinds of Moog hits, where they're still wrapped up in the 60s go-go vibes.
Yeah, there's actually a few Telex songs that are like this. They're done in a sort of bossa nova.
Oh, yeah.
It's like swing that you have. And I guess that's their jazz background.
Right. I
mean, you know, that smooth French Riviera type thing. And I'm not going into a Paul Barrett here and talking about sparks in every song is something to do with France. But you've got something which is, you know, very short. To the point, just say, take a bloody holiday, mate. That's what it is. And there isn't anything more to it. I mean, I've written down.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward.
Right. Look, I mean, you could try to find something deeper into it, but I don't know if it's there.
I mean, and maybe it was wrong subconsciously saying, I need a bloody holiday.
I need a bloody holiday. Yeah. Right.
He probably didn't say bloody. He might have said something else, but
yeah, he probably did.
Number five. What? Yeah, that's
the name of the answer.
That's number five. Song number five.
Again, a good groove, insistent, and that's also another one of those instances where I'm surprised they didn't have a sequencer, because you've got that very steady, like, what is it, 16ths, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that part, you know, it's very energetic. Who are we kidding? This is not one of the more memorable tracks of the album.
It's not that bad. I mean, it's better than Long Holiday, that's for sure.
It is.
But yeah, it's got a little bit more to it. And then there's some sort of question marks as to whether this is really about some politician, or whether this is about the guy with his girlfriend and about to sort of say, well, you know, you've elected me to be your man, but I'm not fussed anymore, thanks. That's what it sounds like to me.
So, well, in that sense, this could be evergreen. Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of saying, you know, there's a change coming, and it may be that you're dumped. That's it. You know, because he mentions, I'm going to pop this big balloon.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he does.
So there you go. So you doing the lyrics, or shall I?
Balloon. Oh, well, I'll go. Well, I'll do this one. You do the next one. This one's short. All right. I guess you've heard persistent talk. I guess you've heard recurring rumors. I guess you've got a sense of humor. There's got to be a change. There's going to be a change radically, radically. The world is waiting for something special. Well, something special is what I offer. Trust me, I'm the man with the answer. I'm the man with the answer. I'm the man with the answer. Baby, a change is coming soon. Baby, a change is coming your way. And you elected me. Merci, merci. You got to go sometime. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You're going to go with the flair. Si, oui, oui. The man with the answer. The man with the answer. The man with the answer. I'm going to pop this big balloon. A sense of humor is not my forte. A sense of purpose is all important. I'm the man with the answer. The man with the answer.
Thank you.
That actually seems uncomfortably close to our times. Assuming this was Ron writing these lyrics, and if he was writing politically, where he might have come from around this time, and I suppose it might have been Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I was thinking if he's trying to say, you know, that there was someone on the political stage at the time. I mean, it could be even, you know, one of the French presidents that he may have heard of, but it could be more than likely Ronald Reagan, and saying that this man had all the answers. He would lead the, you know, the future for America, and get married with Margaret Thatcher or something, you know. So, but yeah, I don't know. The second part of it, it seems to be more about somebody who's sweetie. He's about to sort of, you know, let go, because he talks about the fact that, you know, he's not joking. Has she got a good sense of humor? Because she's about, you know, hit the dirt. At least that's how it comes over to me.
Yeah, that works for me too. I still read it in a informed by the political climate of that time, and, you know, and it could, and it still has some resonance. Carbon copy. This has some fun stuff that I like. When I was listening to the Martin Ware interview, and he mentioned something about Daft Punk, and this was the song that I thought, well, maybe Daft Punk could take something from this. I don't know. There's something robotic about this that I liked lyrically and just sort of sonically. Did you have any particular take on this?
I struggled with it a little bit, because I could, the one little bit that gets me that I was a bit worried about is the middle section, where it talks about if that guy weren't so black, he'd look just like me. And then I go to Chinatown, there's lots of me standing beside me. That just wrong.
So I think that's a bit of Ron. I heard of the song that was an outtake that was recorded as a demo but never recorded. I wish I could dance like black people do.
Yes.
Right. So I think that's a very particularly Ron kind of insecurity.
Yeah, I think you're right, and it does have some really good lyrics in terms of the way he's describing what he feels like in terms of the people he sees on TV and the people who drive and all these sort of things. He thinks they're just like me. They are normal people, just like me, and I'm like them, and I'm like them. You know, when they're famous on TV and all these sort of things, it's interesting that he's trying to say, well, these people must be like me. You know, they're all like me, aren't they? You know,
aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, the funniest bit is the Christmas Eve thing where he talks about the Santa, you know, that Father Christmas comes down and he must look like me. It's just
I love that.
Yeah, you want me
go
to
ahead.
Do it? Okay, all right, carbon copy. I'm selling beer on the TV. Look at me. I'm driving steers in the cowboy movie. Yeah, I'm all I see. I sure get around the town. I'm losing sleep counting sheep that look like me. I feed the dog. He looks just like I do. I drive a Jeep. There's a strong resemblance. Carbon copy on the left side, carbon copy on the right. I think that I'm crumbling, defying natural laws. I think I'm stumbling. The universe is like a Xerox. If that guy weren't so black, he looked just like me. I go to Chinatown. There's lots of me standing beside me. On Christmas Eve, someone comes and says, ho, ho. They look like me, dressed in red, but I'm not fooled. On Christmas Eve, even God looks like me. Carbon copy on the left side, carbon copy on the right, twice. I can't trust doctors, no. They look like me, I swear. Same dandruff in the hair. Same look of mild exasperation. I swear it ain't the drink. I thought you'd mention that. And if you lost some weight, you'd look like me exactly. Carbon copy on the left side, carbon copy on the right, times five.
So the next song I like a lot, which is Exercise Is Good For You.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah. And was that not a B-side to one of the...
It was. It was indeed. It was a B-side to the first single, Haven't We Met Somewhere Before?
There we are.
And it was removed from the UK album alongside, as
quite
I said...
A crime.
No, not really. From the fact that, well, at least
what was put in?
Well, no, because you had Dummy and was added.
Yeah, Dummy's put in.
Rula Matahari and L'Amour Toujours, which was the second single. So they couldn't really miss that out. And Matahari's brilliant. Okay, you get Dummy on it. And Dummy was a B-side, so it was a toss-up. Which one do they want to make a UK version with? You know, would sound better for us, apparently. Really made no difference. Yeah.
From the perspective of a Sparks fan, it's unfortunate. But yeah, those are both two very, 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 very good tracks from Telex that you mentioned.
I mean, I've got both anyway, so it wouldn't have made any difference. If you bought the singles and you were into Telex, once you got the album, it wouldn't have made any difference. You then pick up Dummy again, and you still have Exercise Is Good For You.
So Exercise Is Good For You. This is another one. Again, great song, a great beat, very, very steady. You could imagine in 1981 jogging along to it, but maybe, having a stroke in the middle, who knows? It's a little weird. And lyrically, I get what Ron is doing.
You can instantly link this, as I've mentioned before, instant wave. Yeah, it's of the same oeuvre. It's the same sort of thing. And it was such a big thing, being a health freak, a health fanatic at the time. You go back to 76, 77 onwards, people here were following the American way of, going out for jogs and wearing the little band around your head and, wearing the right tracksuit.
Can I ask you a quick question? Were you a fan of Dexys around that time?
Dexys Midnight Runners?
Yeah.
I like them. I wouldn't say I was a massive fan. Yeah, cool. The first album was really good. The second album, obviously, everybody loved it because of Come On Eileen.
The reason I say that was because right before they released Touré, they settled upon this whole different look, which was all American fitness-based, where they put on the bands and they ran and jogged and things like that. And so I was just curious if that sort of thing ever really penetrated over there around 1981.
When I heard this particular song for the first time, the one thing it reminded me of, again, not a Paul Barrett moment, no, John Cooper Clarke. Have you heard of John Cooper Clarke?
No, I've not.
Okay, he was a poet from Salford in Manchester, and he had his lyrics, or rather I should say poetry, put to music. By Martin Hannett. Martin Hannett was the guy who produced Joy Division.
Okay.
And went on to do a little bit with Gene Wilder. Yeah.
Yeah.
And produced a very famous producer. And the man was a nutcase, a genius though. And He's got a song on his very first album called Disguise in Love, and the song's called Hell Fanatic, and it's done in the same way. And allegedly, Martin Hannett made John Cougar Clark do the lyrics while he was jogging in the studio. He made him jog around the studio. Yeah.
Cool.
And it's got that same sort of feel to it. This particular song has that sort of background, as if you're breathing. You're heavy breathing, heavy lung.
It's almost like you're speaking it as you're running to it.
That's it. Yeah,
and that rhythm.
And I'm sure, you know, as I said, it was definitely along the same vein as instant weight loss, all about, but this is in reverse, in that, you know, the guy is in this particular song, is actually doing the running to forget all about the lost love, rather than getting the weight on and not bothering, as in instant weight loss.
He'd like to think he is.
Well, yeah.
And perhaps in both cases. But
yeah, true.
Right.
Is this me?
Yeah, it's you.
Okay. All right. Exercise is good for you. It's okay, and I'm doing fine. Just so I don't think of you. It's okay. I don't need your love. I've lost a kilo or two. Sure, you say that running's just a substitute. Running instead of loving. Exercise is good for you. Times three. Heavy breathing and sweaty legs. I've got to try to forget. Autumn leaves and a charming tune. I wish we'd never had met. Sure, you say that running's just a substitute. Run instead of loving. Exercise is good for you. Times three. I was weak and my heart was weak. And loving you was a strain. Now I'm strong and my heart is strong. And I don't feel any pain. Sure, you say that running's just a substitute. Run instead of loving. Exercise is good for you. Times two, I think, on that one.
Times two. Yeah, you should definitely play that while you're jogging, wherever you are.
Aye.
There's something very LA about that.
So do you agree with me that this is, in my opinion anyway, this is about a guy trying to running?
Because absolutely. Yes, he is running. He's running to try to grind away his pain from losing his lost love. Which is, you know, again, pretty Ron-like.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, as I say, whether this was the instant weight loss was the flip of this.
I wonder that too.
He flipped it to write a different, you know, lyric for the next album that they would have been doing at that time. So
it's weird how those two now sound like they're sort of like
they're twinned in some way.
Twin bees.
Part one, part two.
Same thing. Yeah. So then we have a Dream-O-Mat.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say about Dream-O-Mat?
Okay. This isn't difficult. It's just Are you right? I'm just thinking he's got a lovely girlfriend, but he's bored of her, and he'd rather have dreams about someone he'd really fancy.
That's what I got too.
But he's playing it safe in that he's got a nice girlfriend, so he doesn't want to stir the waters or cause any rift between them. But he's pretty peed off because he'd rather have the dream girl and just have her wake him up with nascent phone calls on a regular basis.
I think he might be in that uncomfortable part of, you know, many men's psyches where, you know, we have that sexual dream and we wake up and there we are in our real life and there's our real life spouse or partner and like they're fantastic, but I just had this great dream and how can you pull me away from that?
Yeah, and it's a great title, isn't it? Dreamo Matt. I mean, that's so wrong. It's very 70s in a way because, you know, you used to get laundry mats, laundry-o mats and all that sort of thing. And this is...
Yeah, but do you know of the band Granddaddy?
Yes, I've heard of them.
Right, so they did a song 20 or so years ago about the what was it called? The dial a dream or the dial a mat or something like that. But it was all about you being able to be where you are from your dream and just sort of dial in to what the other people in your life are doing. which is where this took me to. But this is a bit different. You can't ever top my dreams.
Well, when you get to the next to last verse, but that great couple of lines there, you're worse than a communist spy. They're shifty. They don't cry. I mean,
they don't cry. Yeah. And then he acknowledges that she might be upset.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. She's crying down the phone because he's trying to get off the phone.
Here are the lyrics to Dream-O-Mat. Hello, hello. Oh, baby, it's you. I love you, but I hate what you put me through. You telephone every single night. You woke me, but that's all right. You're killing off my little dream. She's pretty, yeah, but so are you. She doesn't wake me like you do. I've got to get some sleep, please. I beg you. I'll call you back tomorrow. Now go to sleep. You're killing off my little dream. Dream-O-Mat, send me a dream. She killed the last one. Dream-O-Mat, send me a dream. She pulled a fast one. Hello, hello, ho, baby, it's you. I love you, but I hate what you put me through. You're worse than a communist spy. They're shifty, but they don't cry. You're killing off my little dream. She's really funny, yeah, but so are you. She doesn't worry like you always do. Hello, hello, oh, baby, it's you. I love you, but I hate what you put me through. You're killing off my little dream. Hello, hello. Oh, baby, it's you. And I just had a little epiphany. The lyrics remind me more than a little bit of Mr. Sandman. Bring me a dream.
Some sleep, please, I beg you. I'll call you back to.
Okay, come on in. You're going to fire away with your Sigmund Freud's party.
Oh, what it was, it reminded me of that old song by that guy Taco, Putting on the Ritz.
Oh, yeah.
So in the early 80s, it was like 81, 82. I was a small child, and I saw this on TV. And then I hear that, but then I also hear very clearly Hit the Road, Jack.
Ah, yes. Now, right? that's spot on. That's good listening. Right.
So,
and you wonder whether that was something in their mind at the time. For some reason, why? But right. It does sound like it, yeah.
We have Sigmund Freud's Party. This was this a B-side?
No, it isn't on the UK version. It was one of the songs that they took off.
Okay.
I'm thankful for that.
It's a lot of fun.
It's not one of my favourites. And it's not because, you know, I'm trying to big up the UK version. I'm just saying right. I have the whole 21 songs which they right. did around the time. And Sigmund Freud's Party, it's nice. It's a little bit joggy along and it's, you know, spruceful. But
well,
to me, it's a filler.
Well, maybe it's a filler. but on one hand, it feels very telex.
Yes.
To the extent that they take old standards.
Again, it's got that jazzy sort of feel. That, you know, it's almost, like I said, a bossa nova. It's
right.
It's kind of groovy and a...
The lyrics are so Ron Mayall.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
surprised that it's Ron, although I can see, you know, the more you talk about it, that it's a Ron song.
Go back and listen to Ladies.
Yes.
This, you know?
Yeah.
I like it a lot. And like, would I want to dance to it? No, not so much. But it does feel like a Ron Mayall song, and I'm glad they included this.
The music that you are hearing is something stolen, rhythm and all. I heard it, and then I taped it, and added singing, but no guitars. It was long ago, I can't remember. I have trouble calling up the past. Now I know, oh yes, it was Vienna, at some all-night Greco-Roman bash. When Sigmund Freud's invited to a party, that's a party that will last and last. When Sigmund Freud's invited to a party, you should see the mess the morning aft. That was Sigmund after two martinis, dancing like some hoochie-coochie queen. When Sigmund Freud's invited to a party, that's a party that will last and last. When Sigmund Freud's invited to a party, you should see the mess the morning aft. Sigmund shows invitation, enters with patient, blonde, really nice. Egos, so many egos, perfect for Sigmund, checking them out. Now he's had a couple more martinis. What he's doing now, I can't reveal. When Sigmund Freud's invited to a party, that's a party that will last and last. When Sigmund Freud's invited to a party, you should see the mess the morning aft.
I think
there's run there.
It is. It's definitely very, very run. And it's humorous in the way that he's lampooning Sigmund Freud, yeah, and his intelligent, scrupulous behavior that he has at the party. Brilliant. Really good. It's just the song isn't for me, I think. Probably because it wasn't on my version of the album. When I did hear it later, I just thought that wasn't a male song. I actually didn't think Ron had written it.
You didn't think it was a male song? Yeah.
No, like Long Holiday, it just seemed like it was a bit throwaway. Yeah.
I don't want to take the time to get into the entirety of the expanded release of Stex, a.k.a. Burton Bees, where we have like a whole other 9 or 10 songs. But I would like to talk about a couple more songs. And one of those, and you mentioned it, was Mata Hari.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to do Dummy first? Because we haven't done Dummy.
Yeah, let's do Dummy. Yeah, please.
Yeah. Well, do you have the lyrics for it? I've got bare lyrics for it, actually, because Oyston helped me out with this.
So, yeah, you got me on this one.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to have a go at it. I might not get it 100% right. Okay. Shall we just do it and get on with it?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Dummy. Who say hello? Who thank them for the cheers? Dummy, your dad's a tree. Dummy, your mum's the sky. Dummy, I'm talking to you. Hey, I'm talking to you. Hey, who's that dumb one? You need me, I don't need you. Hey, ain't you something? Without me, baby, you're through. Who say goodnight? So long, it's been a ball. Dummy, you're heaven sent. Dummy, you pay my rent. Dummy, I'm talking to you. Times three. Hey, I'm talking to you. Hey, who's that dumb one? You're a joke, only a clown. Hey, ain't you something? I want half. And I want it now. Yeah, it's one of those sort of unusual one in that you can't tell whether it's he's having a go at someone,
right,
or whether it's actually it's just someone who he's picking on more than anything. Something, yeah, because it's almost as if it's could be his partner that he's having a go at, who he's doing all the work because they're the dummy. And that's how it comes over to me. Yeah, it wasn't on the version that you'll have, but it was on the UK version and a B side as well. So there, yeah. I haven't got the lyrics or anything for it, but from what I've read,
I have them.
Okay, well, go ahead, then.
I have them.
Go ahead and do it, because that way it'll explain. My little theory that this isn't really about the story of Mata Hari, it's about someone who is like them. But carry on.
Dancing alone with the shadows, faking a ride nobody knows. Excuse me, magnetic eyes, far eastern skies. Make up the game, pretend to fame. The spider was a spy, like to save her life. This is the pride for a Mata Hari. Nothing in her eyes, always telling lies, and just survives as a Mata Hari. Paris forgets, Berlin acclaims. Mata Hari, are you home again? A jewel means eternity. Nobody fears reality. Seeking adventures meant money. Every day in need of action. Never say the truth. Invisible friends. What you say is what you play. War and peace. Separation. The spider was a spy. Liked to save her life. This is the pride for a Mata Hari. Nothing in her eyes, always telling lies, and just survives as a Mata Hari.
It's a great song.
It is. And I think you may be right, sorry to interrupt, but maybe it's not about particularly like the original, not to the Mata Hari.
Yeah, it has historic links because it mentions Berlin and it mentions Paris and it mentions the fact that she told lies to make sure she could get away with things that she did in terms of turning over spies to the Germans, which is what she got shot for.
Right.
But there's a question mark about whether that was really, that was her. And it weren't the French who gave them up in the first place. But, you know, but the storyline and the song is really good. And it's very catchy. And I'm not so sure. As I say, I think it was a single in Germany.
Was it? I mean, that's so much irony.
I am guessing that it would have been put out there, perhaps in 82 as a single.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't here, that's for sure. But yeah, it's such a good tune, it should have been a single. But hey, there you go.
Yeah, I gotcha. This was a really great album that did not get a lot of exposure. I'm glad that Telex released it belatedly just a few months ago, as it turns out. Of course, that's years after the death of Mark Molan, and he was very good friends with Ron Mayall.
As I say, it's the second best, in my opinion, album that Telex did, but it certainly has some great, great songs on it, and it's just a shame that at least that particular single, Haven't We Met Somewhere Before, wasn't a biggish hit. You know, right. It came about the right time, 82, when you had the Durans and the Spandau Ballet and Thomas Dolby and all these people, these people were having hits when Telex had been around for a little while doing similar thing and producing quite unusual tunes and were much more, to a certain extent, innovative. Hey, they weren't Kraftwerk light, but they were more Kraftwerk pop. What's interesting is that it's an FFS in a way. It's another collaboration that they didn't. And why are we not doing this Lilo woman as well then? What's happened with that? Where is it? Because they wrote the lyrics.
Because she won't answer my emails. Then maybe we'll see if she does.
Yeah.
John.
Yeah, cool.
Do you mind if I ask you what's going on with your music right now?
Okay. Well, it's an exciting time for me in that I haven't actually put something out for a good 12 months. And that was one of my other bands, Translator. I put out a sort of best of back in January 23, February. But I've got 5 albums on the go now.
And is that under the Christ on a Bike?
Christ on a Bike, yeah. I have a double album. In terms of double album, I mean double vinyl, not really CD. I mean, it's 20 tracks. I had 35 songs for that album. And I'm really, really chuffed. This is probably the best work I've done ever. It's better than some of the previous albums, in my opinion, that I've done. And this really, I mean, I listen to it daily. I go on walks, jogs, do my health fanatic bit, listening to the songs, going in my head and going, oh, I could tweak that bit. And it just feels right now. But at the same time, I've got a remix album of that will come out. So that's the second one. There's a new Christ on a Bike song album for next year that I'll have that's already on the way. 8 tracks already done for that. And then there's Child's Play 3. It's a theme that I started way back in 2006. I had 2 albums, one called Child's Play, one called Adult Games. Child's Play was just basically a children's sort of song, things that are a bit jaunty and jolly and all that sort of thing. Whereas Adult Games was about adult themes, had all sorts of things included in there, from the Moors murderers to all sorts of things that I did songs about. And then I did a Child's Play 2 a couple of years back. And now I've got onto a Child's Play 3, mainly because I did a song which I didn't include on the Cross on the Bike album that's going to come out now. It was too good, and it's called Merry-Go-Round. And it just sounded childlike, and I just thought, I'll leave that off. And it really is good. Again, this is all my opinion. I put it out there just for other people to listen to. If I make any money, great. I get royalties every now and again, $25, $30. This last quarter was the most I've ever had in ages. It was 70 odd bucks. I couldn't believe it. You know, God knows you buy my bloody stuff, but there you go. But you don't get much as an unsigned artist. Spotify only pays you 0.006 cents. Sorry. You've got to sell an awful lot. You know, I'm not Ed Sheeran, so there you go. Yeah, I mean, again, I listened to Star Child. The remix the other day. And I was thinking, I wonder if you really like them. Because I did the remix for Tor Harold from his Descended place. He didn't like it.
He didn't like it, did he?
And he wanted me to remaster him originally. And I said, no, I don't have a proper studio for that. I said, I remix. Right. So he gave me the songs and I played around with them. I even did a Christmas version of his song, but I never sent it to him because I thought it'd be... I was going to say, that's another album I still haven't put out. I've had a Christmas album for the last 10 years. I've added songs to it. And I just haven't had the guts to put it out because there's 2 songs on it that need lyrics. I've got lyrics for, but I need to sing on it. And I've lost the will to sing. I used to do it. But I think I sound rubbish now. So, Christian, yes, anytime you want, any songs you've done that you want remixes for, knowing what I do, okay, knowing how I do it, and I do it for free, obviously. I do it for the fun of reinterpreting other people's music and swear wording it up. I'm not going to use the F word. But yeah, so if you want it, I'll do it. Yeah.
All right, man. I'll hold you to that because I've got more coming.
No problem. No problem.
All right. All right. John, such a pleasure talking to you. I'm so glad we got to talk about your work And I know we're going to do it again, John Ashdown, very soon. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
You got it.
Hey, everybody. I hate to just leave it right there. The more I listen to that album, and particularly when I listen to the British release Birds and Bees, which is a double album. They recorded an entire second album and just stuck it on the back of the original version of Six. And they changed a couple of tracks around. But I was struck by, and this is after going back and listening to the larger Telex library, just how confident they had become. And it really comes through in the music on this album. For comparison, go back to their very earliest stuff when they were doing these weird, reworked, slowed down, you might even say, something like chopped and screwed. I mean, it's postmodern takes on familiar things. Frankly, it was often kind of seemed like they were a novelty act, which is something that Sparks have been accused of for decades. But by the time they got to Six, you really start to see a bunch of different forces converging. By 1981, the new romantic movement was in full effect, as John was saying earlier in the show, that this is around the time you had Duran Duran, Spandau Ballet, and then the other Human League that the first Human League turned into. So it was in the air. There was clearly a market for it. Did I mention MTV? So there's a whole visual component, and they really knew how, Telex that is, to surf this wave. One thing that I feel really puts them in a different kind of category from, I hate to pick on Human League, but certainly by the time it was no longer Martin Ware's band and it was Phil Oakey's band, he wasn't really much of a musician per se. So he came at the creation of this kind of electronic pop music with a complete beginner's mind, which a Zen Buddhist will tell you that's a good place to come from. And Dare's a great album. It does so much with the relatively simple toolkit that they have. With Telex, around the recording of Six, they were still wanting to keep a fairly pared down sound, but you could tell that there was so much musical knowledge and skill that they were distilling just a melody here, just a counter melody there, a simple beat here, bass line there, just a handful of tracks. Spartan, almost. But the effect of bringing all of their skills together, including sharpened songwriting, just made for a really special experience. Ernest Hemingway once said, when he was giving advice to writers just starting out, acquire as much knowledge as you possibly can. When you write, don't bombard the reader by showing off that you know stuff about things. What you know will seep in to your writing if you make sure that all you're doing is telling a story and telling it well. And that's what I really think Telex is doing in the Six album. And even from the original Six album from 1981 and the expanded version from 1982, there's quite a bit of growth in between those different recording sessions. And you can really hear this new sophistication in songs like Mata Hari, which I'm surprised it wasn't a single in more territories, to be honest. By the way, if you're unfamiliar with the story of Mata Hari, and I realized that neither John nor myself spoke about it at all, here's the Crib Notes version. Mata Hari, birth name Margareta Gertruda McLeod, born 1876, died October 15, 1917, better known by the stage name Mata Hari, was a Dutch woman who was convicted of being a spy for Germany during World War I. She was executed by firing squad in France. The idea of a beautiful woman using her powers of seduction as a spy made her name synonymous with femme fatale. Her story has served as an inspiration for many books, films, and other works, like maybe a song by Telex. Anyway, maybe we'll come back around to all this Telex stuff again. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Dance, goddammit.
Stop plastic pollution in the ocean.